Back when I was 18, I wasn't thinking too much about 63. He mentioned his daughter was a 6. I wasn't thinking much about 63 back then. It's kind of like your mirror out there on your car. It says things are closer than they appear. Oh, Lord. I hope I got that right. I'm going to be using great plainness of speech this morning. And I've been through it. I mean, there's got to be something take place today. I've never been attacked this hard in my life about going somewhere to preach. And I want to thank y'all for the privilege to be here, for the honor to be able to be here. I want to thank you for that. And I first got saved, I was sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, I'm beginning my journey, and I'm still in journey. We're not home yet. And I've been saved. I don't know. Maybe some of y'all have been saved a long time, but I've been saved 1988. That's right at 29 years, I think. Heck, I don't know. Be open up your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 2, while I'm rambling on here. But I've been saved, I think, 29 years. I got saved April 27th, 1988, and man, I have to admit, many times I still feel like a babe in Christ, but we are supposed to grow up to a stature. We're not supposed to stay babies, we're supposed to grow. And that don't happen overnight. Like I said, I'll be turning 63 tomorrow. And maybe some of you older than me, maybe some of you younger than me. Everybody didn't get up this morning. I can't name them. But there was a lot of people went to bed last night thinking like Samson, I'll go out as other times and I'll do this and I'll do that. And they kind of got one of them wake-up calls like the man Luke chapter 12, that God called him by his own name. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required thee. On his calendar of, he's kind of like Martha. He's cumbered about many things and careful about many things. And he can drive down the road and text. And he can multitask. He can talk and flip burgers and all of that. But he ain't really thinking about eternity. But that man, Luke chapter 12, whether he was thinking about it or not, it came anyway. Man. God said, this night thy soul shall be required of you. All y'all got up, you wouldn't be here. Man. But everybody didn't get up this morning. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad to be here. We don't have much text to read. I've only got 2 points, but to be honest with you, my thoughts were so scattered, I really didn't think I'd have enough to preach this message this morning. Now I'm wondering if it ain't going to be a two-part message. So pray for me here. We'll read our text, Deuteronomy chapter 2. We're going to read 3 verses there. They're real short. Deuteronomy chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness, by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough. We'll stop our reading right there. I won't even finish the verse out. And I desire your prayers, and we'll pray right now. And I'm going to preach today on going in circles. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, we put no stock in ourselves at all. We don't have any capability other than failure. And we know that Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And Lord, we're asking for your help. We're confessing before all these people our need of your help. You promised to supply that help. And I pray, Lord, you will help us today. Help us to hear your word today. Help us to receive it today as it is, not the words of men, but the word of God. Lord, I pray our hearts would be challenged. I pray we'd in some way be drawn closer to you just because we came today. And Lord, we'd be careful to give you all the praise and give you all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Going in circles. I had one of them Gideon moments. When I say one of them Gideon moments, I was unsure. I was kind of halting between two opinions. I was unsure what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning. Now, I don't mind delivering a message, but I'd much rather deliver God's message. I'm just a messenger boy anyway. I mean, what you see is it. This is it. There ain't nothing but this. This 63-year-old man tomorrow is all I am. What makes a difference is the Lord. And I want you to know that Jesus does make a difference. It makes a difference in your heart. Makes a difference in your home. It makes a difference in wherever you go. You ought to take him with you. Didn't he say, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you? And I want to take him with me. I want him everywhere I go. I want him on board. I don't want him to be the co-pilot. I want him to be the pilot. Amen. I'm riding with him. I want him to lead. But don't the Bible say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord?
Amen.
I want him to order my steps. I want him to go before me. And I want to follow. And not fall off. I want to follow as close to him as I can. And this message today is really important. It's very relevant. You'll be able to somehow have an opinion about what's said here today when I get done. I don't think it'll take me that long. But I was in the bathroom this morning. Just so you'll know what all I've been through, I had a friend. His truck broke down. I don't like getting all greasy, but I do work on cars. And I got all greasy, and I don't like it. I took rubber gloves, and they broke, but his transmission went out of his truck. And he called me because he ain't got enough. He don't know nothing about cars. He can't do anything when it comes to cars. He can't even change a battery. But anyway, he called me. He said, "Brother Eddie, my truck broke down. I ain't got nothing to drive." I said, "Hey, I'll be out there." Well, I looked on the internet, and I don't want to chase rabbits here real quick. I looked on the internet, and I told him it wasn't shifting. I said, "It might be your shift solenoid." So, lo and behold, we ordered two, put them in there, and it didn't fix it. And I was real disappointed. But the next day, I told my wife, I was going back out there. She said, "You went out there yesterday." You know how them wives are. I mean, I don't mean to get like this, but you know how them wives are. The Bible does kind of warn you, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. She said, "You went out there yesterday." I said, "I know, honey, but he needs me." I saw how discouraged he was when it didn't work. When we put them solenoids in there, and we put all that filter and the pan and the gasket and all that oil in there. And I mean, we're sitting there thinking, "Please, Lord, please." Back when we used to have a well out there at the old house, it was a Roofberry pump. And you get out there in the ground and shake, and you'd be down there, "Please, Lord." It was on Sunday morning for some reason or another. You'd get up and no water. I haven't forgot them. And that ground be shaking directly. You see that gauge on that Roofberry pump go up. Woo! We need some of that today. But anyway, I went back out there yesterday, Brother Philip. Just a whim. His truck's a four-wheel drive truck. And I thought, maybe it's that sensor on the back of the tail section of that transfer case. And I don't like to talk about worldly things, but I just want to tell you what I've been through just to be here. And I knocked that hand off and I loosened that bolt because the cross member is so close to the wrench and I'm having to hit it. But we put that sensor in there and he took off down the road and he's blowing that horn and he's, "Woo!" Well, anyway, that was then. I got home and I like go to prayer meeting on Saturday nights. It's where I'm supposed to be. I believe the Bible says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was on the isle called Patmos. He was there for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He'd been exiled. But he was right where he's supposed to be. The Lord showed up, and we're right where we're supposed to be. And I'm expecting the Lord showed up with us. But anyway, I wanted to go to that prayer meeting last night. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. I'm getting old. And I know I got to get me a little Baptist nap in there. You know what I mean? So I set my alarm. I'm going to be careful. The Bible says be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I'm trying to be wise here. So I set my alarm. Now, my alarm, it's nothing but King of Kings radio. I mean, you won't ever hear old brother. They listen to nothing but godly preaching or singing. So I've got my radio set on King of Kings radio. What's the chances of that radio station going out at 7 o'clock? No. Well, it did. Last night, it wasn't nothing but static. And it was very small, and I woke up at 15 minutes after 8. That prayer meeting starts at 8 o'clock, and I was very discouraged, very defeated. And I went in there to pray, and God was a million miles from me. And that bothered me. I don't want Him very far from me. The day before that, Saturday morning, during my devotions, I'd went in this same bedroom to pray. I couldn't get a word out, tears running off my cheeks. I like it like that. I just started. We're talking 4 o'clock in the morning, and here comes the granddaughter. Pop, this freezer's making a funny sound. Someone forgot to shut the door on the freezer. And I want you to know, buddy, the axe head come off. I'd rather stay in there the heck with the freezer, the heck with the noise. I wanted to stay right where I was. This morning, woke up at 2:30. The old flesh said, you can sleep just a tad longer. And I usually do. I don't set the alarm in the morning. I always get up. It's at nighttime I got to worry. So I thought, okay, I'll lay back down here and get up about 4 o'clock. I got up at 6 o'clock. I didn't have this message pinned down. Now, I just want you to know, there's a lot of preparation to preaching. It's not just fall out of the sky, open your mouth, and God will fill it. But not only is there preparation, you need to pray and seek God. Because I want you to know, buddy, people are dying and going to hell. And I prayed over here that God would give me clarity of thought, give me a voice like thunder to be able to tell the truth of the Word of God and disclose the treasure of the truth that's in there. I didn't come here haphazardly. I'm in the category like Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, I'll receive reward, but woe unto me if I preach not. I'm looking at the clock back there, and it looks like we're getting off to a late start, so I better shut this thing down. But listen here. I've been through it to be here this morning. But I want to preach this morning on going around in circles. I got 2 points. One's to the saved. The other's to the lost. The Bible said in the book of Peter, if judgment begins at the house of God, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So I'm going to start with the saved. I'm going to start with the house of God. If anybody's going to leave out of here, it's probably going to be one of us. And the lost, God's long-suffering you because ain't willing any perish. And she mentioned about that young girl having that firecracker mishap. And I hate to hear that, but to me, that's a warning. The Bible said, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want you to know God gives some warnings. And I'll mention that here in a minute when I talk to the lost. But here, God tells Moses, you've compassed this mountain long enough. It took 11 days to make it one time around this mountain. Where'd you get that at, brother? It's just right there in chapter 1. It said there 11 days journey from Mount Hor by the way of Mount Seir and the Kur. I can't even say that. Kadesh Barnea. But let me get real quick in this message. I don't like spinning my wheels. Number one, saved. You get saved, I mean you're gun barrel straight. I don't like doing this, but I do want to read this. Psalms chapter 40. Listen to this. I'm only going to read 4 verses here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor turneth side to lies. You get saved, you're gun barrel straight. You're not jaywalking. Man, you're hitting on every cylinder. I don't know if y'all remember the day you got saved or not, but I was certainly fanatic. I couldn't wait to call mama. I got saved, tell my grandmama. I got saved. Noise it abroad. Jesus in the house, Mark chapter 2. And the people I work with, I can see by look on their face, wonder how long this is going to last. Well, it's been going on 29 years, and I'm more fanatical today than I was the day I started. Don't let the coals go out. Don't let God have to stir. I mentioned about Peter said, I think it meant, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Don't get stale on God. Stay stirred. Don't have to have God blowing the coals to get the fire going again. Stay on fire. Now, when you first get saved, you're as straight as you're ever going to be. You might not be doctrinally straight, but you're saved straight as can be. Now, the devil's going to try to talk you out of it. Brother Philip mentioned this morning in Sunday school about Matthew chapter 4. And the Lord got baptized. The Bible said he's immediately tempted of the devil. Now, he didn't get saved. He never was ever lost. But he's setting a pattern and an example for us. And he got baptized. The heavens opened to him. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the voice of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." It does picture salvation. But he didn't get saved because he never was ever lost.
Right.
But the Bible said he was immediately tempted of the devil. And Brother Philip mentioned, notice that the devil used the Word of God. The devil can quote a little bit of Bible. It is important to know which Bible. I've been down that road too. But when you first get saved, you might not be doctrinally straight, but you're gun barrel straight. Do you remember that blind man when he got in that Inquisition? And you know, here they are, these lawyers, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, and man, they got him pinned to the mat. And they said, "How open he thy eyes?" He said, "All I know is a blind, and now I see."
Amen.
Oh, that's about all I ever know for a long time, Brother Philip. I might not know how to explain it, and I may not even today. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been lost, and I've been saved. And oh, it's a blessing. I wish I could go through it again. Boy, that's such a blessing to be saved. One brother back there said, pray today that people that ain't saved to be made to realize today they need to get saved. It's a blessedness. You know, the Bible said, and I quote that here last time I was here, Psalms 34 verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I had never tasted. I had never trusted. I had never known God personally. You know Donald Trump? You know him personally? Well, that's what I'm talking about here. I know God personally. He knows me as one of his sheep. I know him as my Lord.
Amen.
And my Savior. I know him personally. The foundation of God stand assured, Lord knoweth them that are his. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. They hear my voice. Another they'll not follow." Anyway, when you first get saved, you're gun barrel straight. Man, nobody got to worry about you when you first get saved. It's only after you've been saved a little while, and here comes that one, the Bible says, "Be vigilant for your adversary, like a roaring lion, the devil seeks whom he may devour." That's what you got to worry about. Well, anyway, we're going around circles after being saved. You're a fanatic. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Man, you're going, you're growing, you're getting. And you know, that is important. The Bible said in James 4, verse number 8, "Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you." That is important. Walk in the light, he's in the light. Have fellowship with him. And I know these guys tell me, my church out there in the wilderness, deer hunting, that's for the statement of truth. Me and the Lord have church out there fishing, that's a further statement of truth. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We're assembled together here this morning. As the manner of some is, everybody's not here, or the seats, there'll be none of them empty. But exhorting one another. I want to be an encouragement. I want you to encourage me. I get discouraged enough. Exhorting one another. It's disappointing when you're not here. Makes the preacher wonder. Wonder if everything's all right. Makes him pick up a phone and says, "Everything all right? Oh, we're sorry we had something come up." God, it's dangerous to put things in front of God. It's dangerous. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. The Lord's coming. I mean, that old song, "Wait a little longer, Jesus," ain't happening. He's not going to delay. The day of the Lord will come. It's on the calendar. He's coming. It's not the old ready or not, here I come. It's He said, in a month, an hour, you think not, the Son of Man comes. I'm telling you, buddy. He said, be ready. What I say unto you, I say unto all. He said, watch. You know not what hour your Lord comes. Amen. I want to have to be with some people if he came today. Lord, got to move on. You're going. You're growing. You're getting closer to God. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just normal. Next verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. You know what? Your mind's going to be renewed this morning just because you're here. You're going to hear something this morning you wasn't really thinking about, and you thought, well, he's right. Well, who does he think he is? But you're going to be renewed this morning because you're in the presence of the Word of God. You're in the presence of the songs, the Spirit of God. You're being renewed. Now, the opposite of that, it's when you leave all that and go out into the world and get bewildered. But Hebrews 12, 13 talks about making straight paths for your feet. You went straight to church after you got saved. It wasn't optional. It wasn't like you had to take a poll or vote or what do you think what to do. Man, you didn't even have to give it much thought. Man, you just got saved. You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The Lord's wanting to fill you. And He promised He would. He said, hey, that's thirsting. He said, come unto me and drink. He's hungry. Come eat. The Lord takes care of His sheep. But you didn't have to worry about coming to church. Man, you might have broke a speed limit getting here. You're going to make straight paths to the house of God. Couldn't get enough. I got to get there. Woo! Man, Peter and James and John on that mountain, and the Lord transfigured, and they said, woo, it's a good place to be. I mean, you got some of that. Man, you got in. A little girl went to church one time, and she didn't ask her mama, and her bus showed up out there, and she come home, her mom was mad, and her mama said, where have you been? She said, Mama, the bus pulled up out front and asked me if I wanted to go to church. And I said, yes. And I rode the bus to church. And she really gave her down the road. What was that you said, your little girl, 6 years old, Brother Jeff? Yeah, this little girl wanted to go to church. Her mother said, next Sunday you're going with me. And she did. She got out of church and she asked that little girl, she said, now how was it? She said, Mama, we truly went to church today, but God wasn't home. Didn't God tell Elijah which brook to go to? Did he name the brook Cherubeth? What would happen if he decided to go somewhere else? I wonder how I would have went with him. He said, you go down to the brook Cherubeth, and I'll feed you there. You better be careful what you call church. I don't like starving. I would rather be, whatever you call it, overweight in God than to be anemic and weak and you know, limp, just barely surviving. I want all I can have, and the Lord don't want to withhold any good thing from you. He wants to freely give you all the things of God. I want all I can get, buddy. I want seconds, thirds. I want to take some home for the journey. We ain't home yet. All right, you made straight paths to the house of God. No going around in circles. You made straight paths to reading your Bible. Man, I got saved, and I hate to elaborate here, but I didn't know which Bible to read. My wife, man, she couldn't believe her drunk husband got saved, been married a drunk 13 years. She went and got me a Bible. I don't know what kind it was. I think it was toilet versions of American Standard or something. But anyway, Man, this thing in me, this Holy Spirit of truth that's in me, that God gave His Spirit unto us, and our spirit bears witness with His Spirit, that we're children of God. Jesus said that Spirit won't bear witness with nothing but truth. And I'm trying to get truth. And these are words of men, not words of God. No light. I'm starving to death. I told her, I said, honey, thank you for the Bible, but He just ain't speaking to me. She went and got me a living Bible. That's dead in the cemetery. And I kept on. I think I made every single one of them. And I'm out there working in the cafeteria, and I'm reading this little old New Testament this guy gave me. He said, let me see what you're reading there. And I handed it up there to him. He said, throw this thing away. He said, go get you a King James Bible. You got to realize now, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just know I need to be doing something. Our Sunday school lesson here this morning was talking about the Lord doing the work of God and about His Father's business. And I'm trying to do the same thing, but you know, I have to admit, it's kind of like spinning the Coke bottle. I don't know which one to pull to my hand. I got me a King James Bible, Brother Philip, and the light came on. Now Hebrews chapter 4 talks about verse 12 about the Bible being quick. Now the Lord's going to judge the quick in the day. It's alive. Amen. It went to bed with me. It got up in the morning with me. It went throughout the day with me. Woo! I'll tell you, buddy, I still got those other Bibles. Why you got them, brother? It's a testimony. Wasn't Elijah that said, how long halt you between two opinions? If Baal be God, worship him. If God be God, worship him. There's a lot of opinions in this world. Young lady back there in the back, taking care of them kids back there in our Sunday school lesson. She was talking about, you know, how a lot of people have a lot of opinions, and they do. But we also need to realize that God said what He meant what He said. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Search whether those things are so or not. Line them up with your Bible. If they're not Bible, I talked to Brother Jeff about eating watermelon. I said, you eat the seed? And he said, yeah. I said, forget that. I said, you eat the rind? He said, no. I said, thank you. There's some parts of watermelon, don't eat the rind. Spit the seeds out, but eat that good. That's the same way with God. Eat the good. God, everything about Him is good. His Word the same way. It's good. But you got to be careful what you call the Word of God. You got to be careful what you call Scripture. You start right off reading your Bible, and here comes the attack. And that right one, that's important. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2. There, verse number 2. And you know, you not only start going to church, start reading your Bible, you start witnessing. Apostle Paul, back when he was Saul, thought he was doing God's will. And he said, I found mercy because I did it ignorantly. He is a blasphemer and a murderer and a persecutor. But he run into truth and he had to throw all of that away. He even had to ask him who he was. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, who art thou, Lord? He didn't even know who he was. He'd been persecuted and he didn't even know who. A lot of people in that category. But he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. The Bible said in Acts 9, I believe it's verse 11, immediately he preached Christ. He had a witness. He gave it everywhere he went about someone standing in his way, keeping him from ending up in hell. And you better be glad somebody stood in your way and were his witnesses. And you ought to get right on with it, get straightway to witnessing. But he started witnessing about this one he met. And then later on, after he got good and seasoned in the Lord, Acts 26, verse 22, he said, I have witnessed to both small and great, governors and kings, even Caesar. You might not be able to stand up against Caesar. You might not be able to stand up against Pilate. You might not be able to stand up against Felix or Festus or Agrippa. But I'll tell you what, you can tell that little girl right there, you can pass a torch that far. You can do that. When someone comes to you and says, sirs, we'd see Jesus, I hope you got enough of Jesus in you that you can point them in His direction. But you don't go around in circles when you first get saved. Man, you know, God had to give Paul a thorn in the flesh just to kind of slow him down a little bit, because he was going faster than he could handle his zeal. I mean, he said the Lord gave him a zeal because of the vision and because of the knowledge that he'd been given, a measure of Satan above him just to keep him where God could use him. I don't want to go in the strength of Eddie Wade. I want to go in a leadership guidance and the help of God. I don't want to promote Eddie Wade. But he started witnessing both small and great. Matter of fact, straightway, he started praying. What was it Jesus told Ananias when he got cold feet about going over and laying hands on old brother Saul that he might receive his sight? Oh, Ananias, he said, I heard about him, Lord. What did he say? Behold, he prayeth. That's a pretty good sign. I wish I had more time. I'd like to go down these roads a little further. But I'm just working a little garden spot instead of plowing a little 40. But I would like to spend a little time right there. But anyway, you start praying. That's good. Jesus said, Luke 18:1, He would that all men pray. He wants you to pray. And not cease. Luke 18:1, He would that all men everywhere would pray. Paul said prayer without ceasing. He started praying. And he started bearing fruit. When you read that parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 to 23, you'll see in that parable some bear much fruit and some become unfruitful. And those that become unfruitful, the ones I'm talking about here in a minute, start going out in circles. Okay, I'll leave all that down. You're saved. You're gun barrel straight. You're doing everything right. Then you start going in circles. Galatians chapter 5, Paul talking to the church in Galatia. Verse 7, he said, you did run well. Now, something happens between running well and now you're over here going in circles. Something happened there. We're going to dissect this here just a little bit. Paul told his church at Galatia, he said, you did run well. He asked two questions. Who did hinder you? That's in that same verse. Then, in verse number 1, he asked this question. He said, how did you become entangled? Now, those of you that have hunted or even went fishing, you know what I know, a little old vine the size of a clothes string or whatever you call it, or something, it will trip you and you'll fall. I don't care how strong you are. What happens when you lose your balance? You start falling, don't you? And anyway, you go through the woods and there's a little old vine there and you step over this foot and catch on that and you're rolling down through there. Paul said, how did you become entangled? Well, you got these people that come around and knock on your door. And I ain't going to crucify them. I wish we had their zeal. The Bible said a true witness delivers souls. If a true witness delivers souls, somebody tell me what a false witness does. Well, don't knock me down. Anyone, everybody ain't bearing the truth. I'd rather a man tell me the truth than give me a lie. And I'll be damned. Jesus mentioned those Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And after you make him, he said, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourself. He said, up in the Bible day, he said, you shut up the kingdom of God. I don't want nobody to shut it up. I want somebody to open up to me, take the Bible and say, look here. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Look here. Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look here. God's long suffering to you, not willing you perish. He wants you to get saved. I'd rather a man give me the truth and try to sell me a lie.
Amen, right.
Amen, Brother Philip. I want to be a true witness. I want to be true to the one I'm witnessing about. We're all going to give an account one day. You better be. But anyway, Paul talked in his church at Galatia. He said, you did run well. Who hindered you? How did you become entangled? Peter, kind of elaborate on this a little more about being entangled. He mentioned about the latter end of being entangled. He said your latter end's worse than your beginning. Now you get somebody here, and I'm going to spend a little while here. This is important. You get somebody here and get them good and say, "Woo! Woo!" You can't put it in words. It's just, you just, I mean, it's all you can do. Woo! I mean, tears is running. Woo! You can't tell nobody. You just enjoy the moment. Oh man, you do everything right. You stay in church. And all of a sudden, the devil comes by and says, you don't really need to go today. And matter of fact, the Lord laid a message on Brother Phillips' heart, and the message pertains to you. God wants you to hear it. And you're listening to this old devil. And the Bible says the God of this world blinds the minds of many. And he's kind of got you sidetracked a little bit. And you're thinking, yeah, I believe I will just stay home today. Well, a little leaven, even though it's little, it don't stay little. And here you are, you saved, you've been gun barrel straight. Now you're starting to slip a little bit. And you miss a Sunday. And then you miss a Sunday night. Then you miss a Wednesday night. And then you end up like this preacher that had to go to this prison. He got a letter in the mail, "Will you please come see me?" And he goes to the prison. And here's this young man. Him and his wife got saved on a Wednesday night. And oh boy, they did run well. They loved the Lord. They was there every time the doors open. Man, you could count on them being there. You know why he's in prison? His wife is in the back seat of the car in the Walmart parking lot, and he can't help it. He shoots them both, and they're both dead. But you know what he told that preacher? He said, "All this started because we missed one Wednesday night service." I don't like that aftermath. He wanted people to know that. He said, "Don't abstain. Be there. You need to be there. There's a devil down here. It started on a Wednesday night. Then it ended up being Sunday night. Then Sunday morning. Oh, the way of transgressors. Oh, me, brother. It's sad to pick up the newspaper and read the aftermath of what's happened because someone let something slip. And now instead of going gun barrel straight, they're jaywalking. And the Lord's having to lead the 99. Go after one. The 99 are faithful. But he's got to go after that one because there's wolves out there. There's a devil out there. There's someone trying to kill you. He come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We underestimate this dilemma we're in. This ain't heaven. We're not home. The world hates you. Jesus said, "Marvel not that the world hates you. Know this, they hated me before they hated you." You mention that name Jesus, see how it goes with you. But I'm giving you fair warning this morning. That man said, "Preacher, the reason I want you to come, I want you to go back and tell people how important it is to be there at the appointed time for the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, perilous times are not only coming, this thing's bottlenecking. I'm telling you, buddy, we're ripe for the rapture. If you miss the rapture, no hope."
Right.
Not any. Not any. You want to try to make it to heaven after the rapture of church? Right now you can get saved by the grace of God. You want to try to make it heaven through tribulation? First of all, God's going to give you a strong delusion. You'll believe a lie that you might be damned because you received not the love of truth while you had the opportunity. Second of all, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Good luck with that. You got to have the testimony of Jesus. Good luck in a tribulation. You'll be hunted like a dog. And you got to love not your life unto death. There's 30,000 guillotines in Georgia right now. They'll be used. They might be sitting there right now. You look it up. 30,000 guillotines in Georgia right now. Your politicians bought them, but I got a feeling they had some help. There's a devil down here. He's the god of this world. And the prince of this world, he ain't happy. Matter of fact, buddy, he's at war with you right now. In your mind right now, you're wondering about what time it is. In your mind right now, you're saying, when's he going to let up? I'll let up when God tells me to. I don't like dodging lightning. You read about Ananias and Sapphira. My pastor preached about them last Sunday. You know what I noticed about Ananias and Sapphira? And I've read my Bible through over 17 times, New Testament. I've probably read it through 50 times. You know what I noticed about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 that I had never noticed before? It doesn't say a certain disciple named Ananias. You read it for yourself. It says a certain man named Ananias was pretending and playing in the house of God. The Bible said there's a sin unto death. You can see that fulfilled right there in Ananias and Sapphira, but I never noticed that. I thought Ananias was a disciple, and I thought, well, the Lord took him out, that he wouldn't be condemned to the world because of no condemnation to him in Christ Jesus. I thought, well, Lord, you just done the right thing there. You read it. You show me where it says he's a disciple. We better be careful about playing church. Kind of quiet in here. It's always quiet when you have surgery. But here you are. You start missing a Wednesday night. You start laying up. You start showing up late. But you did run well. But now you're circling. And Peter talks about that latter end being worse than your beginning. All of a sudden now you got some decals on you. I ain't against tattoos. I've got one. My heart was tattooed 29 years ago with the letters J-E-S-U-S. That's the only one I got. I'm proud of it. He pierced my heart. He squeezed it. And I'll tell you right now, I said, be my Savior. Be my Lord. I claim none other but you, and you crucified. And oh, praise God, I bear that badge of honor. But here you are. You've been missing church a little bit, and now you picked up a decal or two, and you know the Bible talks about many have pierced themselves through many sorrows. And man, you come in here and you got something stuck in your ear, and you know, I had a guy visit church up there. God, I got to be careful here. I know how Baptists are when it comes to time, but you better be careful about that latter end. I heard a preacher preaching about a young girl who got saved in his church. Beautiful, beautiful young girl, blonde-headed girl, hair like yours. And she got to missing church. Everybody got to inquire and asking. Nobody could even find out where she went. I mean, she found a hole went in it. He took a vacation down to Florida. She's on the streets in Florida selling herself. And he went over there and he said, "Is that you, honey? Is that you?" She was ashamed. How did that happen? How did she end up in that latter end condition? It broke his heart. He shared that with me. It broke my heart. I don't want that. I don't want that. She's become a slave. No, you're not. You are whom you obey. Whether servants under obedience or disobedience, she's a slave to sin. Boy, I don't hear a whole lot of amens this morning. And here you are, you're circling. Now you're like Peter, and he denied the Lord three times. Did you notice that third time he began to curse and swear? All of a sudden now your communications not as becoming saints, and you're kind of laughing at them off-color jokes, and you're kind of getting away from the light, and somehow or another you're having fellowship with darkness, like Ephesians chapter 4 talks about. Let it not be named among you becoming saints, and slip a little here, slip a little there. Next thing you know, man, you're going down for the third time. Where'd that start at? Do the math. That man that called that preacher, he said, "Preacher, it started on that Wednesday night. We made a decision to stay home." You better be careful with that. Peter denied the Lord three times. But let me say something good about Peter. He fought a little. He had a sword. He cut an ear off. Jesus had to put it back on. The reason he did, Peter didn't understand he had to be crucified. But he did fight a little bit. The Bible said all the other disciples forsook him, but Peter followed afar off, by the way, like most of us. He was in denial, getting colder instead of bolder. And, it hurts when you hear somebody say, I thought you was a Christian. It hurts when you hear somebody say, he used to go to church. He was on fire. It hurts. Boy, you could count on him. That shouter. And preachers love them. But boy, when you ain't here, they miss you.
Amen.
And they start wondering, is it all right? Is it okay? Have you failed from your steadfastness? Are you falling towards condemnation? Are you starting this pattern of making circles instead of straight paths? Is any of this sinking in? Y'all, awful quiet. I haven't preached in a cemetery yet, but I feel like I'm not far from one. Has anybody here got any life in them?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Man, I'll tell you what, I just want to make sure I wasn't in a cemetery. But here you are. You're going in circles. And people start doubting you. And the preacher becomes your enemy because he tells you the truth. And I don't like him. You used to love him. Paul said, if I become your enemy, because I tell you the truth, it's sad, ain't it? The same one. Oh, Brother Philip. Woo! Brother Philip. He's my preacher. Now you're running, you're hiding, you're slipping around. I don't go over there. He preaches too long. He preaches too loud. He's too hard. I want somebody to put me to sleep. Getting tired of him waking me up all the time. By the way, Paul did say, awake thou that sleepest in Christ to give you light. Boy, it is quiet in here. Shout a little, there's this. I'm just on the first point. I told this might have been a two-part message. But you're circling around like a rabbit being chased by a Baptist beagle hound looking for a hole to hide in. Okay, I'm going to break away from saved. I've had enough. I'm going to talk to the lost now. What are you waiting on? How long do you think you got? Well, the Bible doesn't say tomorrow's the day of salvation. It says now is the accepted time. It says today's the day. It says today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. But listen, even further than that, in Genesis chapter 6, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Illustration. I worked at R. Donnelly & Sons for 32 years. Everybody out there knew old Brother Eddie was saved. I mean, I went from a drunk to a child of God, and even though they was in doubt, and even though I was having a hard time working with them, putting up with their ways and language and stuff, I still loved them, tried to help them. I never will forget one time I was working on this press 516, Brother Philip. I still got this flesh. I try to die daily to get me. I try to crucify myself every day. I do. But I still got this old flesh to deal with. And you do too. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a gate. But I'm out there at work and things ain't going well. All my men, I got 5 men on my crew or 6 men all together. They're all sitting there around me. One of them is an atheist. His father raised him up to be an atheist. As far as I know, he still is. But all these men are standing there and I'm working on this machine. It ain't cooperating. And Brother Philip, I hit that machine with a hammer and I took God's name in vain. I could not believe it come out of my mouth. It broke my heart. I fell down before those men and wept. I'm expecting them any minute to laugh me to scorn. I'm expecting them to just give me down the road. Those men had more respect for me after that day than it did before that happened. I hated that it happened. Even that atheist, Philip Phil Zamtuck, he came to me. And he had tears. He said, Eddie, I want to believe. I want to. I just can't. My father raised me to be an atheist. Train up those children. They got a little baby back there in the back and they're packing it, passing it around, rubbing the hide off it. Keep that baby in church. Amen. You can't start late enough. Those other men, hard as they were, every one of them got saved. Two of them rededicated their life. Now we're talking tough men. But they saw something that day they never saw before. They saw a man make a mistake and he took the right course of action. I repented right then, right there. I didn't care if they laughed at me. It hurt. Now you lost. God's Spirit's not always going to strive you. And I mentioned about me working out there 32 years. I had a testimony. I had a reputation. People coming to me. What's the Bible say about this? One guy asked me, what's the Bible say about overtime? He's wanting to get this overtime this day. He said, don't it say something about sharing? I said, yeah. It says, prefer your brother above yourself. But yeah, it does. Anyway, his motive was all wrong. This other guy came to me. He was sincere. His name's Richard Wheeler. And he discreetly, not in front of everybody else, he come to me. He asked me discreetly. He said, Eddie, I'm lost. And he said, what bothers me? He said, God don't deal with me no more. What do I need to do? And I said, Richard, you say God dealt with me? He said, yeah. I said, God's already showed you he's interested. Why don't you show him you're interested? Won't you start going to church? Don't the Bible say be ready to give a man an answer to ask you a question of the reason hope it's within you? Richard Wheeler started going to church. And boy, I couldn't wait. I said, you get saved? He said, no. I said, keep going. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Squeeze some out. Shout a little bit. But one day he come to work, lit up like a 100-watt light bulb. He said, woo! I got saved! To you lost people. There was a time in your life you come to church with purpose. Yeah. Yeah, you was here for the right reason. You're seeking a refuge for your soul. Yeah, you had the fear of God's beginning of wisdom, but you had a concern about eternity, and now it's kind of got far off, dim. It's still there. It's just you need spiritual hearing aids, be honest with you. But listen, God said, my spirit will not always strive with a man. You can't just get saved at the drop of a hat. I'm sorry. I know they got this 10 step, forget that. If God does not, you know, Jonah, he may have had the same mentality. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. In Jonah chapter 2, in the belly of that whale, down in the depths of hell, he cried out, and he cried out, and the Bible said God spoke to that whale. If you want to know, it was a whale. Just read about Jesus. Was Jonah not in the whale, bellies of the whale 3 days and 3 nights? He told you what kind of fish it was. But anyway, God spoke to that fish. It spit that preacher out on dry ground. What did he say? Best phrase I've ever heard of, salvation's of the Lord. He couldn't get himself out of that belly of hell, and you can't neither. You can start seeking, but you got to have one. We read right there Psalms chapter 40. You got to have one to get you out of the mire. You got to have one to put you on the rock. You got to have one to establish your going to put a song in your heart. Whew. If you're lost, don't do this right here. Amen. Buddy, time's running out. The same God that said about Jezebel, Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, he said, I gave her space to repent. How much was it, Brother Eddie? If it was that much, it was more than she deserved. If it was that much, it was more than she deserved. But I got a feeling it was this much.
Amen.
And you said it not, the counsel of God, you would none of his reproof, and you thought, well, we'll see. Well, let me just pull a veneer back just a little bit here. On a Sunday night, an old white-headed preacher with God all over him, old country church out on the hillside, and he's up there trying to preach to the children of God, and a young man comes in the back door back there. You young girls, and you young men, you listen to me. didn't come in for the Word of God. He come in to hit upon the girls back there in the back. And the preacher put up with it for a little while, had a little salt in him, you know. And he said, young man, can I help you? I mean, trying to be nice. And the young man stood up. I mean, he's been offended, been put on the spot. You know how young men are. I mean, pride's getting the best of him here. Pride goes before destruction, Holy Spirit for a fall and all that, you know. He says, yeah, preacher, you can help me. He said, all right, son, what do I need to do to help you? He said, tell me how far it is to hell. And I can't say the rest of what he said and went out the door. And the preacher and everybody in there were speechless. And after the meeting that night, the preacher driving home. Hey, we all listening here? 3 miles from that church parking lot, come up on a car that had run into a tree. And there's someone in that car and he's pinned in there. It's on fire. And the preacher stops. Lo and behold, guess who it is? Anybody here got a clue? He ain't cocky now. He's crying now, preacher. Help me, please, preacher. Help me, please, preacher. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please get me out of this burning car. He tried. He tried as hard as he could. And he had the unbelievable mercy of watching a young man burn to death here and be thrown headfirst in hell. It was a revival meeting. He came back the next night, and the first thing he said from the pulpit, he said, last night I couldn't answer that young man's question. He said, tonight I can. He said, he asked me last night how far it was to hell. He said, I don't know how far it is for you, but for that young man, it was 3 miles. You better be careful what you... That sarcasm better be controlled. Ananias and Sapphira, they may have had a little bit of sarcasm. I don't know, but this young man, he had an epidemic of it. Now, buddy, I wouldn't wish hell on anybody. But he ran out of options. That old hitting on girls, you know, that worked for a while. Does the Bible say God is not mocked? Do you ever read Proverbs chapter 1? How long you sub ones when you love simplicity? Scorners delight in their scorning, fools hate knowledge. Turn it my reproof, behold, I'll make my words known to you. I stretch out my hand to you. You go ahead and make you fun. Ask that young boy when you get to hell how it is there. You ask him. He'd be glad if he can quit screaming long enough. But here you are, you're lost, you're going around in circles. And you know, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't that sound like straight? Don't that sound like, if it's there, that's where I need to go? Or does it say, well, let's wait a little while. Let's not get in no hurry. That's in there for a reason. Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You ain't got as much time as you think you got. Who's fooling you? Who's the biggest fool?
Amen.
King of pride, that's who it is. And I had him by me. He said, you got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. I've told this before, but for sake of time, I'll throw this a little bit in here. I was 18 years old, out in my backyard, my shirt off in my field, drinking a past blue ribbon in a bottle. And I saw my godly grandfather coming up. I could see his house down below me, and I saw him making his way out the back door, coming over to me, and I put the bottle behind my back. He came up there to me. I'm 18. His glasses are that thick, made his eyeballs look like bowling balls. And there's big tears dripping off his cheeks. And he says, horsefly, please get saved. I'm praying for you. And I'm thinking, I don't want y'all to know this, but I will tell you this. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, I'm 18. Lighten up, lit up off of me. I'll get saved when I'm ready. Good luck with that. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. Good luck with all that. You go ahead. You do your Frank Sinatra. You do it your way. You just help yourself there, buddy. You'll find out one day just how big a fool You are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Call upon Him while He's near. Isaiah 55:6. Feel after Him and you'll find Him. But see, you're in denial. You're not seeking. You're not calling. You're not. Matter of fact, you're past feeling. This preacher right here, I could go to Jamaica. They don't wait for the invitation. Their hearts aren't gospel hardened. Their heart's not like an adamant stone that the Word of God's got to be a hammer to break. I mean, they're tender-hearted. Man, they want you to preach 7 times. They want you to preach all day long. Can you go anymore? I know America's gospel saturated. I understand. I know we're just gleaning. I know that. I know the harvest passed. I know that. But I'll tell you this. You miss out on heaven, you've been better off than never even been born.
Amen.
Who said that? I know this preacher here said amen. I take every one of them. Hallelujah. You've been going around in circles. You've been going around in circles. You're lost. You think you got plenty of time. The devil's been feeding you a lie. You've been entertaining those lies. You're in denial. Years are flying by. And the devil's loving every minute of it. Oh boy. You know, the Bible said that he's going to spoil it in his deceivings. I don't know if they're going to be trophies. I really don't know exactly how that's going to be. But y'all seen that movie, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames? Has any of y'all seen any of that? Anybody? You know that old devil, he got this one boy. He said, forget about church. Let's get in these football, basketball, any ball but the gospel. And that little boy and that father ended up in that wreck, and that father's crying out to his son. That son's crying out to his father. He said, I'm sorry, son. I was wrong. I was wrong. Don't make an eternal mistake. We're getting ready to give an invitation here right now. You can go ahead and walk out that door. I ain't your enemy. You don't have to worry about standing in front of Brother Eddie and giving an account. But what are you going to say to that one that died?
Amen.
That suffered? That wore a crown of thorns? That let people spit in his face? That was beaten beyond recognition? All for the sake of you. What are you going to say to him? Well, you be thinking about that. Sister's over here getting ready to get us a song. Let me pray real quick here. Lord, we thank you. We've done our best, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the message. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give us. I know I've been long, and I pray for these people. I pray, Lord, that they would be challenged in their heart about what they're doing for God if they're saved. And I pray, God, they'd be challenged in their heart about the need to get saved if they're lost. I pray that today. And I know, Lord, that you've got to do it. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them in that effort. And Lord, I've done my best. I pray, Lord, you take this service wherever it needs to go. Whatever's said, whatever's done, may be to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Pilate said, what am I going to do? What shall I do with this Jesus? Which is called Christ. What are you going to do with him, friend? Well, I promise you this, you're not going to have nothing to do with him. Pilate's wife said, how about nothing to do with that just man? I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. That's mission impossible. He's either going to be your judge or your savior. Which one depends on what you do with this Jesus. Now, buddy, this is real. This message today, I went through hell just to be here and deliver this message. I know God got you here at such a time as this. And he's the one that authenticated or authorized this message. I'm just the messenger boy.
Amen.
So I don't know how the Word of God went to you. But if you need to do something, you need to do it now. Maybe you got a burden for somebody. Maybe something sad has brought a memory to your mind that maybe you've been compassing them out. Most churches are, though. It ain't like you got to worry about being guilty. Most of them are. Going through the motions. not bearing no fruit. Yeah, this message is relevant. You see, the Bible says the day of the Lord can't come except to come a falling away first. So that's where we're at. We're at that far away from God apostasy. That's where we're at. But it's still not too late to get saved. It's not too late to rededicate your life. It's not too late to re-enlist. Like Elijah did in Isaiah chapter 6. Here am I, Lord, send me. It's not too late. But I promise you this. You're going to have to take that first step.
Amen.
Now, I believe I heard Brother Jeff talk about it. He said, the Lord kind of laid on his heart to reach back and hug somebody. He took that first step. He said he hugged his aunt back there. And he said, heaven come down. And I like when heaven comes down. I love that. Man, oh man, oh man. I love it when heaven comes down. I like to see it when it comes down to you. I rejoice with you. You shout, I'll shout out with you. Amen. Man, I didn't come to a funeral home. I come to the house of God. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the what? Hello?
Amen.
He's the God of the living. You might be between the living and the dead. I don't know. I know a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. I know how it can do well together except to be in agreement, but I don't know your state. I just know mine. So if you need to do something, I'm going to shut this thing down. Really, probably one foot and I should have went.